Answering your tough financial questions for the past 21 years, it's Hanson McLean's Money Matters with co-hosts Scott Hanson and Pat McLean.
In today's program, we're going to talk about something probably you've never heard anyone speak of recently, Bitcoin. We'll get our opinion on it.
We're going to talk about many of the cryptocurrencies.
That's right.
The good, the bad, the ugly.
And this tax bill that looks like it's going to become law. We're going to talk about a few things you should be considering, strongly considering, before the end of the year. So stick around for Hanson McLean's Money Matters.
Do you have a financial question that needs answering? Call us at 1-888-2-HANSON. That's 1-888-2-HANSON.
Welcome to Hanson McLean's Money Matters. I'm Scott Hanson.
I'm Pat McLean.
Glad you are with us on this weekend as we talk about financial matters. Both myself and my co-host here are financial advisors, certified financial planner, chartered financial consultant. We spend the weekdays meeting with people like yourself and spend our weekends being your financial advisors on the air.
So if you have any questions, if you have any questions about your portfolio, which stocks, bonds, mutual funds, your 401k, your IRA. If you have any questions regarding this new tax bill, we're going to talk about it a little later in the hour.
Yeah, we're going to we're going to talk about a couple things. One is we're going to this tax bill is yet to be signed into law as the date of this recording. So because this is on the 16th of December. So if you're listening to this podcast, maybe it's happened by then, but as of this date, it's yet to be recorded. When this gets signed into law,
yes,
we will have we'll spend considerable time on the program. In addition, Hanson McLean will be putting out some great information that is designed specifically for those that are either nearing retirement or currently retired and how it impacts you.
And you would sign up at our website, HansonMcLean.com,
yeah,
to receive
our newsletter.
Our
newsletter will be the primary way we'll get that out. So you'll want to make sure that
you go to HansonMcLean.com and sign up. Be one of the thousands of people that receive our free newsletter.
Yeah. So in addition to taking calls on this program, we're going to talk. But there's still, I think, some things to be thinking about today because, unfortunately, this is going to happen right around Christmas. A lot of us are leaving on holiday right after that. You're leaving out of town. So if this thing gets signed into law next, the Friday before Christmas weekend,
you might want to do a couple things.
Yeah. So we're going to talk about
We'll talk about why you would want to do them and what the tax benefit to you will be.
And later in this program, we've tried to kind of resist this topic. We've touched upon it lightly a couple times. We can't help but address it head on today. And that is Bitcoin and cryptocurrency and what you're going to get our take on
what it means. And
yeah.
How we feel about it,
yeah.
And it's crazy.
You
got to stay and listen to what has happened with not just Bitcoin, but
everything. Everyone's talking about it now. That's the thing.
Yeah, including us. And we've resisted it. But we have clients asking us now, what about buying some Bitcoin?
An employee this week came and said that their spouse had come home from work and said, we need to invest in Bitcoin. And want to take some of their emergency reserves and put it in Bitcoin.
Mm.
So this is
creating a real emergency.
So we'll talk about that and more. If you want to be part of the program to join Hanson McLean's Money Matter, simply call 1-888-2-HANSON. That's 1-888-2-HANSON. 1-888-2-HANSON. And numerically, it's 1-888-242-6766. And let's go to Texas, starting off with Jamie. Jamie, you're with Hanson McLean.
Yeah. Hey, good afternoon. Hey, we all know Mr. Trump has threatened to withdraw from NAFTA. What do I do with my 401k to be protected in case? Or what will happen with all the shares that I have in different companies?
Got it. So your question is if I'm going to repeat this to make sure I got it right. Is what will happen to your portfolio if the U.S. withdraws from the NAFTA treaty? Is that what you asked?
That's correct, yes. I'm
okay.
Really concerned. I'm thinking probably moving to some like a saving or so.
Okay, well, let's take this question in two steps.
Yeah.
We're going to talk a little bit about NAFTA and the effects on the market, and then we'll talk a little bit about you in general.
Yeah, and effects on the market. So, Jamie, we're actually going to spend a little time kind of going into, I think this is another important topic right now, and that is the market of what's been driving the market and what What underpinnings are there, and what might cause some destabilization in the markets? Because I think that's really what your concern is with your 401k plan. And NAFTA is one of many concerns. This is a concern you have, but other folks have concerns such as North Korea,
yeah,
rising interest rates, our deficit spending.
Europe's economy splitting into multiple economies with the Brexit.
Declining of the dollar, et cetera. So
yes.
With NAFTA, I don't think that you're going to see NAFTA totally repealed. I think there are some elements that are being whacked at right now, and it feels almost a little bit of more showboating than anything.
Yeah. Yes, I agree.
But there's some things like there were some tariffs slapped on lumber, and tariffs tend to not be helpful for the trading of business, right? For commerce.
On both sides.
Correct.
On both sides.
So,
because if you're a student of history, you'll remember sometimes in the U.S. economy where they actually called them the tariff wars, where we start putting a tariff on one product and then
exactly
the competitor
right.
or the other country say, well, if you're going to do it to this, we're going to do it to you. And then the next thing you know, it impedes the free trade. Free trade is what it does.
Yeah. But remember, share prices are not really what's happened today or what's happened yesterday, but it's really based upon what people's belief of the future. That's what sets a share price. Now, historically, it's been discounted cash flows primarily, one way to put
at,
a share price.
At one point in time, that's
but
how
then you've
it was
got
done.
Companies like Amazon, which are huge, that have operated basically at break even over the years. And their share price is huge because people continue to look for the future and the innovation they're doing. So, well, here's the future. So if as a whole here, Trump was put into office roughly, beginning of 2017.
Yeah, almost a year ago.
Says he hated NAFTA, wanted to see it repealed. Investors knew what he was stating. Every investor is seeing the same news you're seeing, Jamie, and kind of evaluating that. And thus far, it seems to be anyway, this year, investors have said either one of two things, either NAFTA is not going to be repealed or they don't care.
Correct. It doesn't matter because stock prices have continued to decline regardless of what's in the news.
And we just saw last week the Fed's increased interest rates.
And what happened?
A third time. What happened on that day? Did it go finish on a positive note that day? Barely,
up.
But yeah.
Yeah, it went up that day.
Yeah.
And for the remainder of the week.
So here, there's been that statement of don't fight the Fed. The Fed's in a period of tightening, which historically would lead to slow an economy and to bring share prices down. Have we been seeing any share prices?
Not even a little.
The opposite.
It's kind of crazy. It's almost like, Scott, that the market doesn't care about earnings of companies. It's almost like the whole market just says, I just want the stock price to go up. I'm not really worried about the fundamentals of the company in and of itself.
Well, if you look over the last 5 years, earnings, and the numbers aren't exact off the top, I'm just throwing it off the top of my head. If you look at the S&P 500, those companies, earnings are up 20 or 30% during that time.
And stock prices are up
70 or 80% during that time. So we're seeing stock prices rise much faster than underlying earnings.
So, but Jamie, the thing that you should be concerned about is yourself, which is, how old are you? Are you retired? Are you close to retirement? And what percentage of your portfolio?
Absolutely.
How old are you, Jamie?
Yes. At 65. Well, almost 66.
And how much money, percentage of your portfolio do you have in stocks?
Probably 41%.
I think you're okay. I think that's actually reasonable.
Okay.
I think that's fine.
Yeah.
As long as it's well-diversified, large, mid, small, U.S., and foreign.
I mean, we would love to be able to predict market tops and market lows. I mean, as investment advisors, we have 7,000 clients at Hanson McLean, roughly $2.5 billion under our care. There's nothing more than we would love to be able to predict the markets and say, look, we're at a high. We're going to get out now, sell high. We're going to wait till things come down. We're going to buy low, and we're going to do this forever. But the fact is, it's impossible to figure out when a top is. We are 9 years into this bull market.
Is this the second longest?
How many conversations have you had with clients, either verbally or an email or whatnot? Hey, I think we're at a peak. I'm a little nervous about prices for the last 5-6 years or longer.
Yes.
Well before the Dow was at 20,000, let alone 24,000. So, but it continues to march higher and higher and higher. So if we were saying based upon
fundamentals,
we would have got out a long time ago.
Yeah. But the market could run for, we don't know whether it's got another 6 months in it or 3 years or 4 years. No one knows. We do know that a properly diversified portfolio is appropriate in order to protect you from downside.
And even if you were invested before the financial crisis, had you had it such that you weren't, you didn't have to touch any of your equities, any of your stocks for 5+ years, you were fine.
Yeah, in fact, more than fine.
So you look at yourself when you've got 41% of your portfolio tied in equities, 59% not. One would presume that you're not going to spend 59% of your life savings in your first 5 years of retirement. If so, you probably shouldn't be retiring. So you're obviously not going to be spending 59% of your life savings in the first 5 years of retirement. So you've got years and years to go before you're having to be forced to touch your stock. So,
And we assume there are mutual funds and equity mutual funds and index funds
not one
as well.
Particular
not
company.
Particular one particular yeah. stock.
So, I mean, if you've got... one particular company that does the majority of its trading with Canada or Mexico, that's a different issue. Well, then you should simply diversify.
Yes.
Things come and go. So let's assume that NAFTA was somehow changed. It's not a forever thing.
Well,
and prices of companies are based upon the future earnings.
So
there could be something that's a short-term setback that might be painful for a year or two, but it might not over the long term.
So I read a great article this week about obesity, the obesity epidemic in Mexico, and this the theory was that it was tied to NAFTA and the exportation of fast food and junk food from the United States into Mexico.
Yeah, I saw that same article.
I thought it was pretty interesting, didn't you? I kind of agreed with the premise.
So therefore, we should repeal NAFTA for their own health.
No, I didn't say that. I was just thinking how the flow of capital actually changes people's lives for the good and oftentimes for the worse.
You think Coca-Cola all around the world, kids drinking Coca-Cola periodically is healthy for them?
Periodically, it's probably not
that's all
bad.
The average person in the world can afford, not daily.
Oh, I know.
Pretty good luxury. Yeah, if you've been in a third world country.
I have.
Now, of course, they want a mobile phone. Everyone wants a mobile phone, but
yeah.
But it's a funny time in the market. It
is a strange time because there's a couple bubbles out there. There's a couple bubbles. In my opinion,
we'll see what happens.
I mean, there's certainly a bubble in venture cap, private equity, and in parts of private equity, there's bubbles.
Well, there's a bubble. I don't. You think private companies are overvalued, or you think there's too much cash in those private equity funds?
I think that there's both. I think that if you look at companies that, so let's say Uber, that would probably be considered a bubble private equity company, but it attracts more capital that's trying to push it into the marketplace. Look at them, these meal delivery services that went public a year ago.
Oh, like
Blue Apron?
Oh, they got crushed. There's a few that got crushed. It's really kind of interesting.
They rushed them to market. They rushed private equity, rushed them to market.
It's an interesting time because the public markets are so cumbersome for a company to go public. There's half the number of publicly traded companies today than there were 20, 25 years ago.
Because of?
The complexities of it and the regulatory environment of it. So companies are forced to go to the private markets, and the private markets are very expensive. The private equity firms typically charge 2%
and
20% of your profits. So it's a very expensive way to invest in private companies, but that's kind of the option that we're out right now. Anyway, let's continue on the calls here with Hanson McLean. If you'd like to be part of the program, 1-888-2-HANSON is the number to join the show. Again, 1-888-2-HANSON. And numerically, it's 888-242-6766. Let's talk with Rick in Northern California. Rick, you're with Hanson McLean.
Hi, thanks for taking my call today.
Yeah, thanks for joining us.
Oh, sure. My question is a little different than some I've heard on your program before. My wife and I, over the years, obviously saved in IRA accounts, but because I was fortunately making a little more money than the deductible IRAs limited you to, we made what were called non-deductible IRA contributions.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
And, you know, we had to submit these 8606 forms to the IRS that, as I understand it, established a basis for each of those accounts. So now I'm in the world of academia. I'm not making as much money. And so we're not even contributing to those accounts anymore. But my question is, you know, at some point, should we roll over the non-deductible portion of those accounts? I think I know what the basis of them each are. Say to Roth IRAs, and if so, how do we do that?
Yes,
or do we just leave
brilliant.
Them where they are now?
No.
And you know, what do we do with these types of accounts?
So, Rick, this is a great question. So I hope you have a pen and
yes.
paper available, because we will walk you through how to do
and
this.
And any other listeners, if you've contributed to an IRA in the past and haven't been able to receive the tax deduction for that year, this strategy works for you as well.
But it is not as simple as, hey, I'm just going to move this. You actually, the stars have to align a little bit.
So let's.
Yeah, and this money is kind of co-mingled.
That's correct.
With other money that went in as, I guess, let's see, deductible contributions.
Yeah.
And then, of course, the accounts have earned money
correct.
Over the years as well.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
And
so
now, by the way, I'm 63 years old.
Okay.
So things have.
Soon I'll be looking at dealing with them.
And Rick, you have a company 401k or 403b that you have available to you but are not participating in. Is that true?
Well, yeah. Separately, I have. Well, I'm in at a university where I work. So it's one of these, I think it's called 457 plans. Or it's not 401k.
403b.
It's not 403b, but
it's
something like that.
A 457 plan.
Yeah, exactly. But I've only been here a couple years, so there's about, let's say, $50,000 in that. So, yes, I am
okay.
contributing to that.
And does your wife have the same situation?
Well, she's now retired and receiving a monthly pension.
Mm-hmm.
And but in her IRA, but she, yes, we
she
both
has
have
some after-tax
IRA.
Dollars.
Yeah, she has a basis of about $86,000 in hers, and I have what they call a basis of about $88,000 or $89,000 in mine.
All righty.
And what's the value of your IRA?
Well, it depends which one, I guess.
All of them.
All of them combined. Everything combined.
Not the 457, just IRAs.
Anything that's in an IRA.
We'll start with you first.
Oh, okay. Okay, so I think it would be about $1.3 million.
Okay. And then your wife's IRAs, all of them combined.
Oh, I'm sorry. I gave you the grand total. Hers combined are $205.
Okay.
And mine are about $1.1.
Got it.
And
she is not working, is that correct?
She's currently not working. She's, she'll be 62 in December. I'll be 63 in December. I'm working full-time. She's now... retired.
Okay,
so here's your cost basis is roughly $90,000. You said somewhere right in there, right?
Yeah. Okay. Mm-hmm.
Okay. So, if roughly 8% of your IRAs have been taxed and 92% have not been taxed, right? $90,000 of the 1.1.
Right.
Yeah. I'm just
and some of that, by the way, some of that's in a IRA rollover account, which was from prior 401ks.
Got it.
And then about half of it is in a regular
IRA. What
the
way the government looks at it, the IRS, is that they view this, they add all your IRAs together, and they look at your IRAs and compare that to what you've had as far as non-deductible contributions, your basis that you've been filing on the 8606. So mm-hmm. roughly $90,000. They exclude anything you have in other corporate retirement plans, 401ks, 403bs, 457s.
So that's the distinction. That is the big distinction. So we're going to tell you how this works for you, but doesn't work for your wife.
Yes. Yeah, so if you today said, I am going to convert $90,000 to a Roth IRA, let's just assume you did that, and you think, oh, I'm going to try to convert the portion that I've already been taxed on, the IRS says, well, that's fine and dandy, but only 8% of that is going to be free from taxation. 92% is going to be taxable because your non-deductible portion of all of your IRAs is 8%.
So to convert over to a Roth IRA, the IRS views it as a pro rata basis. So you think, well, then, Pat, you said you could help us. Why you just said you couldn't?
Yeah, I'm wondering, should I even bother?
We'll tell you how to do it. Here's the rub, right?
If, let's assume for a moment that your total IRAs were $90,000, not $1.1 million. Mm-hmm. If we can take everything above $90,000 and transfer that to an employer-sponsored plan, like the 457 you have through your current employer, now suddenly Rick is a guy that has $1.1 million in his company plan, or roughly $1 million, and a $90,000 IRA that has all been taxed already.
And then you convert that $90,000 that's left into your RIA into a Roth IRA, and your tax liability is zero.
Okay, but I don't think I can transfer all that money.
You certainly can.
Into my employer's.
You certainly can.
Tax law allows for it.
Account.
A few years ago, you couldn't. So laws have changed over the years. And the matter of fact, there might be something in the current. By the time this tax passage just gets through the sausage making, there could be something there. But
you can. And I have yet to see a plan that doesn't accept new dollars. Because it's funny.
From rollovers.
Because the people that install the plans at the companies, right, the plan administrators and
the asset managers all get paid on it.
Sure.
This works for you, and we've done it.
Here's what you could do. You could transfer everything above $90,000 into that. Let's say you right today, and do the conversion, and then
transfer it out next week.
You're over 59 and a half, so you're not locked until retirement date. You can pull it back out and put it back into your IRA, invest it how you want.
So that's why it works for you.
If it were me, I would do it, by the way. Huh. It would be worth the hassle.
Oh, absolutely. It's absolutely. Because your wife isn't employed right now.
Right.
And she probably doesn't have a plan sponsor, it won't work for her.
Yeah, because for her, roughly 40% of her IRAs have been taxed. So you can do some conversion, and it still might. Running the numbers, it may or may not make sense for you to convert some.
For your wife.
Yeah, for
But for wife. You, it's absolutely, you should do this. There's no question. It's
and
a great question. If you had been a client of ours, we would have already had this discussion.
I see.
Yeah, probably years ago.
Yeah. Because it's been, I guess, about 2 years. Mm-hmm. The last one was 2014's tax return where I had a basis I had to report.
Well, you're supposed to report the basis every year.
Oh, even if you don't make
that contribution? That is correct. Correct. You carry that basis, the 8606, every year, even though you're not making new contributions.
And it might be in there. Your accountant might be having it in there.
Oh, I'll have to check on that.
Well, you're supposed to. But if you didn't.
I mean, I didn't make any IRA contributions at all in those 2 years.
It doesn't matter. You're supposed to carry the basis forward on the 8606.
Well, I assume the basis would carry forward regardless, just related to what the last return was.
Rick, I'm going to agree with you, but you're supposed to.
Yeah, that's right.
I'm going to agree with you. Okay. I think you're right.
I think you'll be fine, too. But
I don't think it's a big deal, but you're supposed to technically report that on your 8606. So do you understand the process?
Yeah.
Okay.
You know, now suppose I just keep them where they are.
Do it, but
and at some point, I guess I start, using that money. Then obviously you have to pay tax on money that you haven't paid tax on before.
Wait, how much? Let me ask you this.
Deal with tax.
How much money do you have outside of IRAs that you can drop on?
Outside of IRAs.
If you wanted $50,000 for something, you're gonna buy a new car, nice new car.
Well, right now I have about $75,000, and I call it. Kind of an emergency fund, so I guess
if it were me and I could take $90,000
and put it into a Roth IRA
that I don't have required minimum distributions
or
on,
taxation on, I would do it in a minute.
Yeah, I would too.
Yeah,
and who knows what's going to change in the future?
Yeah.
Rick, I have a quick question for you because we don't broadcast terrestrially regular radio in North Carolina. How did you come about finding Hanson McLain and our show?
Well, you know, for 11 years before I moved here for the position I have here now in North Carolina, I worked in San Diego, and I know you were on Kogo.
That's there. Right. We were on there for
San
a while.
San Diego for right. a bit. And I keep track here of some other programs I listen to on Kogo.
Got
and,
it.
And I found you all on the podcast. So every now and then, especially on Sunday afternoons, I'll listen to you guys.
Well, thank you for listening.
Yeah, appreciate it.
Yeah.
All right,
yeah.
good luck, Rick.
Take
okay,
care.
Okay, thanks for the advice. Right, take
thanks.
Care. Bye now.
Hey, we're going to take a break here momentarily. When we come back, we're going to talk about, one, some year-end tax things to be doing. We don't know. Odds are this bill's going to get put – a final bill will become law before the year's out.
It's far enough in the sausage-making process.
It feels like it. So
that there's a couple things that you should actually be thinking about and be prepared to act on.
We'll talk about that. And we're also going to spend some time on Bitcoin, cryptocurrencies, how you too can get rich quick.
Or not.
Anyway, we'll be right back. This is Hanson McLain.
Would you like an opinion on a financial matter you're dealing with? Whether it is about retirement, investments, taxes, or 401ks, Scott Hanson and Pat McLain would like to help you by answering your call. To join Hanson McLain's Money Matters, call now at 1-888-2-HANSON. That's 1-888-2-HANSON. Want more of Hanson McLain's Money Matters? Visit HansonMcLain.com/radio to get the Money Matters podcast.
Welcome back to Hanson McLain's Money Matters. I'm Scott Hanson.
I'm Pat McLain.
Yeah, glad you're with us. And if you're listening to us via podcast, thank you, because every week our podcast listenership goes higher and higher. And if you're not doing it, HansonMcLain.com is where you can sign up for it, or your favorite podcast place.
It's available.
Yeah. And if you are new to podcasts and you're curious how it does, we actually have a short video on our website. This is how you can access the podcast. So, HansonMcLain.com.
Speaking of videos, remember my bear video where, I didn't know it was on the internet. And
Oh, yeah.
So, I have a little cabin up at Lake Tahoe, California. And a number of years ago, I walked out the front door and I rounded a corner and there was a bear coming right at me. And I screamed. And
California, they're black bears. They are...
They're not huge.
I don't know if any... Well, they
What's that?
They're vegetarian. They're not.
I didn't know that. Well, you come face to
they're
face
not
with
grizzlies.
A bear.
I don't know if anyone has been killed in California from a bear.
It's
unlike other states with the grizzlies.
For our listeners in the great Northwest, we have tame bears. Anyway, this bear comes.
We have them for pets.
I go out the front door and I round the corner, and this right as I round the corner, the bear's rounding the corner. We almost run into each other. I scream. And do everything you're not supposed to do. I run away. But fortunately, the bear runs the other direction. Well, unbeknownst to me, someone was in a car videotaping this. It goes on the internet. I don't know it for about 2 years that I'm even, you know, an internet star.
Someone at the office saw it on the Weather Channel.
Yes.
Weather.com.
I now have over 13 million views. Kind of a viral sensation.
Pat's terror of 13 million views.
I check it every once in a while.
Terror of the bear. It's hilarious.
It's called Man Scares Bear. If you Google Man Scares Bear Tahoe, you will see. And my face is covered by an American flag because I'm a patriot. There was an American flag hanging there. If it had not been there, I surely would have been on The View or another show like that, because I can't even imagine the look on my face. But anyway, so.
All right.
13 million views.
Thank you for sharing that with us.
How many views do you have?
3.
Okay. A little bit of respect.
All right, property. So the tax bill, it's not into law yet. Supposedly, the GOP has cut a deal with both sides. They think they've got the votes. We've said all year long that we're not going to talk about something until it becomes law, but we're close enough now. We want to talk about a few things. Once it becomes law, we'll spend considerable time on it. And we'll have some special releases.
So these are things you should be considering doing, thinking about, but not yet
doing.
Because
there's a good chance. Here's what's likely. State and local taxes and property taxes will either, well, it looks likely that you're going to be capped at $10,000 per year.
For individuals.
Yeah. Or married couples. Well, we'll see the final bill.
Yeah.
Who knows?
I've heard both.
And I've seen, right? But it's still unlikely. I mean, we still don't know exactly what it's going to be, but it's likely that will be, if the bill becomes law.
That's the cap, which means that's the most you can deduct. But it may make sense for you to pay your property taxes in 2017 for 2018.
Yeah, now.
Now.
I did. I wrote the checks a week or so ago.
I'm waiting.
I paid my property taxes for next year. Paid them now.
Yeah.
So, and if you're going to have a state of whatever state you're in, if you're going to have state of California or whatever state, you're going to have an income tax bill next year, you might want to pay that now. Or if you do quarterlies and we're going to pay in January,
you might want to pay it now.
There's not going to hurt you.
That's right. You're just prepaying.
Because
it's not like you're wasting the money. It's just you're... We'll get the deduction.
Further.
As an itemized deduction. As an itemized deduction.
It looks like we're going to have our standard deduction is going to double for married people. Instead of $12,000, it'll be $24,000. Singles will be half that amount. So they're saying that 80% of people are going to take this. More than 80% of people would do a standard deduction, not even itemized. What that means, if you're currently itemizing.
This will cause 80% of people to take the standard deduction.
Yes.
Yes.
So let's say you make some charitable contributions each year. Plan on making some next year as well.
And you itemize.
You might want to either front load them or put some money in a donor advised fund this year if you think you'll lose that itemized deduction next year.
Which most will.
Most will.
It is a simplification in the tax code.
For some.
For some.
And it's a raw deal for others.
Really bad. If you are in a high earner in high income tax state, this is not good for you.
Correct. It's not.
As it's proposed.
At least that's the opinion of Hanson McLean.
That's not an opinion.
That's true.
Well, let's qualify the word not being good for you. If you like paying taxes, more taxes, then it is good for you. But if you're a high earner in a high income tax state, it's probably going to increase your overall tax liability.
Yes, that's true. Hey, in the new year, we are going to be taking, we've been listening to many calls in this program, Best of Calls. In the new year, we're going to continue to focus on calls. So we'd love for you to call in with a question if you got something going on in your financial life. Not only that, we've got for 2018, we've got a ton of workshops. We've got some webinars. So if you want to learn in a live form, you can come to one of our live events. If you want to learn digitally through some other thing, you can go to our website. If you want to meet with an advisor, we always encourage people, the beginning of the year is a great time to get off the couch and get moving on it. So,
or if you just want to even talk to an advisor on the phone, that's available to you as well.
Yeah.
So in any way that you want to interact with us, we have heard you, and we are trying to provide that.
Yeah, so make sure you go to HansonMcLean.com, and in any of those things we just talked about, you can get answers to some of those at HansonMcLean.com. We promised at the beginning of the show we're going to talk about Bitcoin and cryptocurrency. Last Sunday afternoon, I went to Sacramento Kings game with my family, matinee game, and I'm chatting to some guy next to me. He's visiting his friend. He lives in Idaho, 30-ish years old. Asked me what I did for work. I chat with him. Asked him what he did. He says, I do cryptocurrency. And he said that, and I thought, we are clearly in a bubble now.
This is like the tech bubble all over again.
I remember a time, Pat. I remember a time in the year 2000. I was going to a conference in Florida. I'm in the back of a cab on the way to the conference. Guy asked what kind of conference I'm going to. I explained to him what I'm doing. He says, "Oh yeah." He says, "I don't need to save for retirement because I have tech stocks."
Hmm.
Right? You remember all these?
When was the Dow at that time?
I don't remember, but it was the Nasdaq fell 80% or something, and a lot of these companies blew up. Nothing to them.
Yeah. Pets.com.
There is so much. So And I had a discussion this week with a good friend of mine that, no, Scott, you got it wrong. And so as we discussed, it was really, he was defending blockchain, the technology behind it. And I said, I believe blockchain is here to stay, and I believe blockchain will be a game changer. But cryptocurrency, Bitcoin and some of these others, it's not the fact that they're using the technology, but it's not.
That's not. You're not owning the technology.
That's not the price. I buy Bitcoin. I'm not owning any.
Your blockchain is for everyone to use.
Yeah. So I said to this guy, I said he owned Ether. What is those other ones?
Ethereum.
Whatever it was. And I said, yeah, but that doesn't give you any sort of ownership of a patent on the blockchain technology. And he says, no. I said, well,
cryptocurrency can use blockchain technology. In fact, all cryptocurrencies use blockchain technology.
And look,
how many different cryptocurrencies are out there? Does anyone know? No one really knows.
They keep being new ones.
There's probably 30 being invented in someone's bedroom or basement right now with 3 Jolt Colas and a bag of Cheetos. That is where the cryptocurrencies, they come from. What is a cryptocurrency? Why is the price going so high? That's the question.
Well, they should quit calling it a currency. Because currency is something that is of stable value that is useful in exchange, a medium for exchange, for two partners can come together and trade goods or services. When you have something that's
a stable currency,
otherwise it's not a currency.
Well, you could think of you think of like Ecuador's had currency crisis where they destabilize and then they go to the dollar. You go to Ecuador?
No, the fact is no one's using Bitcoin as a currency. Not only that, let's say the drug dealers say, hey, I want to take Bitcoin. They still got to launder it back into the U.S.
It doesn't, correct.
And the banking, the regulators are already telling the banks, hey, you got to follow the same sort of rules.
You need to know where this money came from.
For money laundering, yes. You can't just pretend like someone walked in with a bunch of Bitcoins and you're not going to pretend asking where it came from. No different than someone walking into the bank with a suitcase full of cash.
Yeah.
Going to be reported and everything else. So it's not like it's not a currency.
So,
why are people buying Bitcoin today?
And why is the price going crazy? And extremely volatile, by the way. Mostly on the upside, but it's volatile
so
still.
So far.
So why is the price going up, Scott? Someone else is willing to pay more.
People are buying it, not as long-term investments.
They are hoping.
To get rich quick.
Someone will pay more for it tomorrow.
The greater fool theory.
Right.
There's going to be, I may be a fool for buying it today, but there's going to be a greater fool that will pay more for it tomorrow.
That's what it is.
That's all it is.
And we saw it.
It's not backed by anything. There's nothing there.
So let's actually go through a little bit of this. Where have we seen this in the past?
So one of the classic bubbles, and Pat, I recall the two of us did a presentation. We did it twice. Did we do this twice or just
twice?
I remember once we did out in Sun City, Roseville in the year either 99 or 2000.
And then we did one
on
for
bubbles.
A large business group.
This is right at the
about the history of bubbles.
History of bubbles. We should probably have another one.
And
we're doing some right now, I guess.
And the biggest, the first classic one took place in Holland.
The tulip craze.
And
the 17th century.
More centrally located in Amsterdam itself.
And this time, Netherlands was the world power of the day.
It was the richest part of the world because of their trading ability. They were great traders. If you go to Holland today, you will see some of the old trading houses and how they moved goods and around the world. So,
what happened? If you want some history, just Google the Tulip Mania.
And you will find
the
out.
Tulip bubble, and you'll get some great things on it.
And then do a compare and contrast to Bitcoin and tell me whether you'd buy Bitcoin today.
So they created futures markets for tulips.
These are bulbs.
By the way, this last week, we just created a futures market for.
Remember, you couldn't eat these things. They were bulbs.
Think of a tulip bulb like many of us have planted at some point in time, or at least seen or ripped up a plant that had a big bulb attached to it. That's right. What we're talking about.
Bulbs.
Every day. And if you've been to Holland, they love their bulbs. They're, you know, they're beautiful there. The right time of the year. But people began bidding these things up. And tulip prices continued to rise further and further, to the point where a tulip, a price of a tulip was worth five times the wage of a skilled laborer.
A year, annually.
Yeah, annual. So what's a skilled laborer in the U.S. make? 80,000?
Yes. So it'd be 400,000 dollars for
400,000 for a typical regular tulip bulb.
And this continued for a couple years.
Yes.
Until it didn't.
Until it didn't.
And we're going to see the same thing with Bitcoin.
And it collapsed quickly.
And you'll see the same thing with all these cryptocurrencies, because when it collapses, it will go down hard and fast. Now they're actually allowing you to buy them on margin. You've got to post five times margin, which means if you buy $100 worth on margin, then you got to post $500 so they could get at the money in case the price falls.
50% margin.
500 times margin, not 50%.
Wait, what's the margin?
500 times margin.
That means that five even times the Wall margin. Street houses know that you're going to lose on it.
That's what they're saying. You could buy it using leverage, but you need to post five times the leverage you use. Where a typical stock trade, you only have to post 50%.
So essentially, so the discussion I had last week with a friend of mine, very knowledgeable person, you know, his first argument, he went back to the blockchain, and there's a finite number of bitcoins that can be issued.
That's correct.
And I said, yeah, but you're talking about a cryptocurrency that's based upon the technology. It doesn't own the technology itself.
But Scott,
and the blockchain is a series of ledgers as opposed to a single ledger.
But it doesn't matter because Bitcoin came from thin air. The new cryptocurrency can come from thin air. You could start trading Bitcoin for another cryptocurrency and buy more of them with the hope that will run up again.
Here's how,
or you could start trading. So here's which how they do. They don't trade in 100% in Bitcoin either. They trade in, you know, percentages of a Bitcoin.
So, have you ever heard of Michael Putre?
I have not.
You haven't? Well, come on. He was one of the richest men in America this last week.
I did not know that.
Yes, because what this gentleman did, he bought he owns a company or major ownership of crypto company. That's the name of the company. The stock price somehow ran up so high that the value was worth $12 billion. This was a company that traded on the pink sheets, which means it's so small it didn't even have a market.
Yeah, which means it didn't trade on an exchange.
And let's see, it was trading at $1 a share or something like that. But crypto company did not.
Wait, Scott. It was trading at a cent a share with no trading until September.
Yes.
1 cent a share with no trading until September. So it never traded hands. No one bought or sold this thing.
And the company, what's called a reverse merger. So rather than try to take a company public, he bought some dead public company
that was trading at a penny a share.
And read it. So the company, check this out. The company he bought was a sports bra designer.
Got
right?
It.
So how do I get access to the public markets? I go public. Or wait a minute. How about a company that's already gone public that's on death's door?
That's trading at a penny a share. I get together a couple $1,000 to buy the company.
So you know,
then I rename the company and I name it something like Crypto.
Matter of fact, when I printed this sheet out, which was a Thursday of this last week, that particular day, crypto itself was up 52%. The company. What the heck does it do? No one cares what it does.
Well, what we do know is at one point in time, they tried to design bras.
That's what the previous company did.
Yes, but now
I don't think any employees are still
in
around.
The business of getting people to invest in them. That's what their business is. This guy's brilliant.
Correct.
Because he knows, he understands the greater fool theory better than anyone. That I don't even have to buy the Bitcoin itself. I just take a company and I'll sell
it
to the public. And I own all the shares. And I bought them at a penny a piece. And then all these people start buying my shares from me at $25 a share.
That's what's been happening.
And no one even bothered to ask what they do.
That's exactly what's happened.
Brilliant.
That is exactly what's happened, Pat.
Brilliant. Wrong. Should possibly, morally wrong. Completely legal.
Yeah.
Caveat emptor.
I would not. How would you? I would not feel good about myself if I was if my business was this man's.
You'd be rich.
Yeah, but I that.
I understand that's not your driver in life. So, oh wait, it gets better. This gentleman, Mr. Portier, he was suspended by the Financial Industry Regulatory Authority in 2010, which means he couldn't even be a stockbroker.
Kicked out of the industry. And investors are buying this guy's crap today.
Because
crypto.
It's called
crypto.
He's not even allowed to actually sell the stock himself that he owns. Because he's been thrown out of the industry. Oh, not completely. Only for 2 years.
Okay, Pat. Back in 2000, this was the same thing that was happening.
With tech
companies were starting to call themselves .com.
Yeah.
Right?
Remember, we had a guy that actually came to us and wanted to invest. He was called himself financialservices.com, and he said his valuation was $20 million.
Changed the name of your...
His company to something .com.
.com.
He had nothing to do with .com. I don't even know if they had a computer in their office.
Pets.com was what the website go for, something $100 million. Yeah. Dollars
and when they broke it up, remember the most valuable part of the company when they actually went into bankruptcy and dissolved the company was the puppet.
Oh, Pets.com.
With Pets.com.
So, look, we have no idea where the price of Bitcoin's going to go over
the
short
term. We
have
a strong suspicion it may go up before it goes down, but look, will go down.
When you invest in real estate, you've got rents. When you invest as an equity owner of a company, you have potential profits. When you loan money by buying bonds, you have interest. When you buy Bitcoin,
what do you have? What do they do?
What do they make? One thing you should be crystal clear before you buy it on what you have and crystal clear on why you believe the price will be higher tomorrow. Or make sure it's a very small piece of your portfolio. And if it's going to go up like you think it's going to go up, a very small piece will make you multiple rich anyway. So
yes.
If you'd like to be part of Hanson McLean's Money Matters, 1-888-2-HANSON is the number. Let's go to Northern California, talk with Steve. Steve, you're with Hanson McLean.
Hi, thanks for taking my call. I have a Social Security question.
All right.
I'm 68. I had 37 years with the federal government, so I have a CSRS retirement of $90,000 a year. I retired in 2005, been in the private sector ever since then, 12 years plus. And so my Social Security would have been around $25,000 a year, so I assume it's completely offset by the CSRS retirement. Is that right?
Well, there'll be some offset, but you still might receive something.
Yeah, it's highly unlikely it's a complete offset. Okay. It is highly unlikely that it is a complete offset, but there will be something, although not very large, there will be something there, probably a couple
hundred. We have a program that can help figure that. But I mean, off the top of my head, I can't pull a number out of the hat and tell you this is what it's going to be.
My guess would be it's a couple hundred bucks a month is what you're getting. But we do have actually a program that our advisors, we all use.
And other financial advisors have those programs as well, I would assume, but I don't know.
Yeah. Well, we know we have it. I can't speak to other firms that actually will help you calculate what that is. Or you could call the Social Security Administration, set aside a couple days, and...
Yeah.
Actually, sometimes you might get great at... I've heard conflicting... Some people say they've had great advice at Social Security. Some people said they have just a horrible experience.
Well, actually, yeah, the thing that Steve's got going for him is he actually knows what question to ask, which is what
are
is
you retiring
office.
For good soon?
No, I plan to keep working in the private sector. So I had intended to go into a Social Security office when I'm 70 or so and file a claim. Is that probably the best thing
I
can do?
Yes, you might actually want to do it. You might want to consider doing it possibly now. But let me ask you a question. Are you making the maximum contribution to your 401k or 457? Or you'd be 401k at work?
Well, my employer is, but I'm not. I'm making a maximum contribution to my son and daughter in four-year universities.
Got it. Well, that actually makes... I would play with the idea of starting Social Security now and looking to see if you should fund your 401k with those
Social Security's not going to be much.
It's not going to matter.
It's not going to change us any of these.
Okay. I got it. All right. I appreciate it.
Good luck, Steve.
Appreciate the call.
All right. Thanks. All right.
You're right, Scott. It wouldn't be much. It probably wouldn't be worth the hassle of doing the...
Yeah, for young people, consider going to a government job. $90,000 a year pension.
Yep.
Been retired when he retired. Was 56. $90,000.
Federal government, which is actually a fairly decent sized pension from the federal government.
Yeah.
But that's going to change. So when you're telling young people to go there, that it's highly unlikely that they're going to retire with the same pensions as the people that are retiring today.
Well, you, the state of California, Governor Brown said recently there should be some change for current employees.
Which was shocking.
Yes.
Which was shocking.
Considering he's just a spokesperson for big labor. But
he can be. Has been accused of.
Okay. Anyway. It's interesting what's happened with the pensions.
The defined benefit pension plans. Yeah. So.
Anyway, we're about out of time. You can tell we get a little passionate about this. You know, it's just...
We've seen it.
I don't like seeing people make investment choices that... It's hard to accumulate wealth. It's hard to save. It's hard to make wise investment choices. And when you see people invest in something they have no idea what they're investing in, it's disheartening. So anyway.
And it has a tendency to happen when asset prices are moving extremely quickly.
You feel like you're missing out. There's a lot of investor psychology that's going on here.
Correct. On a relative basis.
Everyone feels like they're missing out. Man, I wish I would have bought it. I guarantee you, when my son is home, be home tomorrow night, when he's home, he's going to say, Dad, I told you I should have bought Bitcoin when it was at 2000, because he told me at that time I should have bought Bitcoin.
Yeah.
But anyway. So, hey, if you haven't been to HansenMcLane.com in a while, you really need to go there. We've got a phenomenal learning library there. Where we've got, any kind of topic you're looking at, well, not any kind, but a lot of financial topics we've got on there. We've got white papers, we've got blogs, we've got videos, we've got webinars, we've got guides. So if you're maybe nearing retirement or going to be retiring the next couple of years or trying to make sure you're on target or have retired and trying to figure out income sources, head on that learning library. And if you're not a regular subscriber of our newsletter, sign up for it. It's a big time right now with tax changes. We'll be pushing some good stuff out, and you don't want to miss out on the great stuff we've got. So make sure you go to Hanson McLane. Enjoy your Christmas and holiday break. We'll see you next week.
This program has been brought to you by Hanson McLane Advisors, a registered investment advisory firm. Any ideas presented during this program are not intended to provide specific financial advice, and you should consult your own financial advisor, tax consultant, or estate planning attorney to conduct your own due diligence.